invite you now to take your Bibles in hand. Whether you are using a tablet like myself, phone, or actual Bible, doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. God speaks to us in whatever means necessary. We just need to understand to read the Word of God. I'd like to read another text for us today. It's taken from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Titus, Philemon, or some persons say Philemon, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to read in your hearing verses 1 and 2. You should just be about there now. If not, you will catch up very shortly. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 read thus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Your heads are bowed as we seek God's presence. Father in heaven, we know you are here in your house this afternoon. We felt your presence through the songs, the prayers, the spoken words, through the children's story. Now we come once again, Lord, for you to manifest yourself to us through your spoken words. Be with each waiting heart, each visitor in a very special way, those who have not yet surrendered heart, mind, and soul to the King of this universe. I pray now, loving Lord, that you will be with me, speak to me, speak through me, and help that as we listen, we will listen not only for time, but for eternity, is my prayer. In the worthy and precious name of Jesus, let everyone say amen. I'd like to speak to you on the topic in your bulletin, but if you don't have one, the topic is entitled Running the Christian Race. For whatever reason, you may not be a Christian this morning. Don't feel excluded. You are a part of the family of God. This message is equally for you as it is for the believers of God's church, and you should bear it in mind. The year was 1986. Race officials concluded that it was in fact the slowest time in marathon history. 4 days, 2 hours, 48 minutes, and 17 seconds. Bob Weiland started the 1986 New York Marathon at 8:23 a.m., more than 2 hours before the main body of runners. But when he at last crossed the finish line on Thursday, November 6, 1986, he was the marathon's 19,413th and final finisher. Why was his time so slow? Why didn't he finish sometime earlier? You see, my brothers and my sisters, visiting friends, Bob was the first to run a marathon using his arms instead of his legs. He was a 40-year-old from California whose legs were blown off in a Vietnam battlefield some 17 years before. But he ran the race partly to display his born-again Christian faith, using his strength of his upper body to move him along. Bob ran in a sitting position on a 15-pound saddle, using his muscular arms like crutches to lift his torso and swing forward at a pace of just 1 mile per hour. He covered his clenched fist with pads to protect them in the grueling race. Finally, at the end of the race, race director Fred LeBow personally came to congratulate him on his finish and to present his finisher's medal. My brothers and my sisters, there is a lesson to be learned from this story this morning. A lesson that we should never lose sight of. As Christians, doesn't matter if you're a Seventh-day Adventist or otherwise, as Christian, there is a lesson in this story that we should never lose sight of. We must put forward all our effort to finish what we have started. And the Bible tells us that God has promised that He will be with us to the very end of the age. What do you say? Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to Jewish Christians who were on the verge of lapsing back into Judaism. They had been persecuted for their new religion, and they were thinking about giving up their newfound faith in Jesus Christ and returning to Judaism. Their faith, my brothers and sisters, visiting friends, was anchored in the temple at Jerusalem. Little did they know or recognize that in a few years' time, this temple would be destroyed forever. And so this book, the book of Hebrews, was written so that they can understand that they need to channel their faith in something better than just the temple. Are you hearing me? And so Paul wrote to them so that they could understand that there is something better than the temple in Jerusalem. There was a temple in heaven, and there was a better priest sitting in that temple interceding on behalf of Christians. The central message of Hebrews is Jesus is better. He is a better high priest. He offered a better sacrifice. He has a better priesthood. He is a better Moses, a better Joshua. He is better than the angels. He established a better covenant. Thanks be to God, He has a better way of extending salvation than anyone else. Jesus is still better than all the leaders of the great religion combined together. He is still better than Confucius. He is still better than Muhammad. And yes, my brothers and sisters, He is still better than Haile Selassie. I have a quote from this good man, Haile Selassie. Hear what he says. He said, however wise or however mighty a person might be, he is like a ship without a rudder if he is without God. A rudderless ship is at the mercy of the waves and the wind. Drifts wherever they take it. And if there arises a whirlwind, it is smashed against the rocks and it becomes as if it has never existed. The man continued, It is our firm belief that a soul without Christ is bound to meet with no better fate. End quote. This man, who is worshipped by some as God, testified himself that Jesus Christ was better than he was. Because there is no God like Jehovah. Not Allah, not Buddha, not Krishna, not Selassie. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. What do you say? That is why we are here this morning, this afternoon, because had it not been for Jesus, we would have been swept away long time. Had it been that there was no Christ, Satan would have killed us all already. But thanks be to God, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, and I know that he is living. No matter what men may say, oh, this morning he was the one who woke me up. He put new life into my being, and that is why I can stand and say, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. So because Jesus is better, Paul says to the Hebrews, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't go back, but instead go forward. Run the Christian race. And he pointed them to the hall of faith. Not the hall of fame, but the hall of faith. To Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Moses. To Gideon, Barak, Samson, and David. To Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. And how could we forget about our good friend, the prostitute called Rahab? Sometimes we believe that certain classes of people have no hope, but I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter who you are. With Jesus, you have new life, you have new beginning day after day. All you need to do is call on the name of Jesus. What do you say? Because there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross and at the feet of Jesus. These brothers and sisters, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheep skins and goat skin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and in holes in the ground. All these men and women suffered much more than the Hebrew. Yet by faith, they remained steadfast and firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say amen. As a result, Paul begged the Hebrews to continue running the Christian race. Let me read that passage again from the New International Version. And here is what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Pastor Lewis. Let us fix our eyes on Pastor Cottrell. Let us fix our eyes on Ted Wilson. No! Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. This afternoon, quickly, I'd like to leave with you three quick points. The first one is that everyone is a participant in the Christian race. Everyone is a what? Is a participant in the Christian race. There is no middle ground for us, whether you are Christian or otherwise. Either you are on God's side or you are on the side of Satan. Now is not the time to find yourself keeping company with the devil. Are you hearing me? Because we are nearer than when we first believed. Christ's second coming looms, and it is time for us to get prepared for Christ's second coming. Ready or not, he's on his way. And the time to be ready is not yesterday. The time to be ready is not 2013. The time to be ready is now. Paul uses the analogy of an athlete to demonstrate every Christian. You see, my brothers and my sisters, visiting friends in the ancient world, where the Olympic Games were originated, we are informed that the participants made very careful preparation to run in this race. It was so important that contestants would strip themselves of their very clothing. They would run with just something around here to hide their shame, so to speak. But their mind was made up. They wanted to get that first prize. And there was only one prize. They wanted to get that goal. And what was the goal? What was the prize? It was a wreath that after a few days would change from brilliant green to shades of brown. But they invested everything. They would train for years, for months, just to get a crown of wreath that in a few days would be cast in the rubbish heap. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, shouldn't we pay greater attention to the spiritual race, the Christian race? The Christian himself must strip himself of all hindrances. Our responsibility and duty is crystal clear. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Weight, as used in this context, is not something that is bad. They are good things, but things that will hinder us from going through in the Christian race. So they are not bad, but if you allow them to be with you in this race, they would prevent you from winning or from completing this race. Therefore, the Bible tells us that we must put them aside if victory is to be gained. A way that is an entrance for me might not be an entrance for Pastor Samuel. A weight that is cumbersome to you might not be the same problem for the first elder. It therefore means that we must pay attention to my weight and not the weight of my brothers and my sisters. Somebody say amen. Because so many times when we come to church, so many times when we see our brothers and our sisters, we just see a sinner. We don't see ourselves. We don't recognize that the problem in the church could just work very well be the man in the mirror. But we look at others instead of focusing our attention to ourselves. Power, which is not bad, could be a weight. Wealth, which is not bad, could be a weight. These are to be used to give God the glory and the honor that is due to his name. But if you are going to allow power to get to your head, then you need to cast it off for the kingdom's sake. There is nothing wrong in gaining some wealth. I would love to have a few more bucks in my pocket this afternoon. But if you're going to allow wealth, and if I'm going to allow wealth to get to my head, then I need to get it and to lay it aside for the kingdom's sake, because I can't win the race with it. But even worse than the weight we carry around is the sin which so easily beset us or entangles us. This is sin in its general sense, and it is dangerous. as it wraps itself tenaciously around us like a parasitic plant, clinging to us until it slowly chokes the life out of us. One person defined sin as a clot in the spiritual artery. And if you want to have a clot, make certain that it is not in the artery, because you are going to die if it is not cleared up. So there are many of us as Christians walking around with clots, spiritual blood clots in our arteries, and don't recognize that we are slowly dying. But today, grace has showed up. Grace alone. Today, the message is Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. Thanks be to God. He washed it white as snow. And that fountain is still available to every sinner this afternoon. What do you say? And I am a sinner saved by grace. Thank God for Calvary. So Paul says it is time for us to put aside the weight and the sin that besets us so easily. The songwriter says, ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. Oh, he, Jesus, is willing to aid you. Jesus will carry you through. In the Christian race, we are on the same racetrack. Let me say that again, because there are some persons who believe that there is a Bible for the pastor and that there is a different Bible for the congregants. There are some persons who believe that there is a Bible for the wealthy and a different Bible for those who are not so affluent. But I'm here to tell you that there is one Bible for us all. We shall all be judged by the same word of God. So we are running on the same racetrack. But the point is that there are persons who will be running only a 100 meter. Stay with me. There are some persons who will have a longer race to run, Pastor Samuels. Some persons just come into the church, they are baptized, and tomorrow they are dead. But by faith, they will receive the same price that we have struggled with for years. That is why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and not on the other contestants, because you don't know how long you are in this race for. You don't know how long the brother is going to run the race for. And that is why you need to keep your eyes, your focus on whom? On Jesus. The Apostle Paul explains the contrast between the physical and the spiritual race in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 for us. In the physical race, there are many contestants. It appears that the clock on the wall has stopped. I've been looking at it and it says 25 minutes to 1 for the past 10 minutes. We'll keep it there. In the physical race, there are many contestants, but only one winner. But not so in the spiritual race. Because all who compete in the spiritual race and who are faithful can be winners. Say amen, somebody. In the physical race, the prize is subject to corruption. But in the spiritual race, the prize, which is the crown of life, is incorruptible. In the physical race, if the contestant dies before completing the race, he would have run in vain. But in the spiritual race, when a faithful contestant dies, then there is a crown laid up somewhere for him. Same and somebody. In the physical race, contestants compete with each other. But in the spiritual race, contestants compete with themselves, trying to see what we need to put off on a daily basis, and how closer we can become like Jesus. The Apostle Paul was confident of his own performance in the Christian race. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, he shouts with triumph, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day." Paul was an unselfish Christian. Thanks be to God. He never wanted to go to heaven and see his friends go to hell. So he was a good evangelist. He told people that there is a Savior who is pleading in glory. A dear, loving Savior, the hearts, friends with you, we have a message to give. We have to be a part of MM14 in calling men and women who are hopeless that there is hope for Kingston, Jamaica. There is hope for your lives. So Paul said, "But not unto me only, but unto all them that love is appearing." So I say to you, continue running the Christian race. Secondly, progress is easy once we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. You never heard that point. Progress in the Christian race is easy once we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 5, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is what? None else." There is no God like Jehovah. Nobody can save us apart from Jesus Christ. He holds the wealth of this world in his hands, and he holds our salvation in his hands. All we need to do is come boldly to the throne of grace. What do you say? Peter knew exactly what it means to fix one's eyes on Jesus. You know the story quite well. I won't get into it. But Peter found out that he needs to pay close attention to Jesus instead of the distractions around him. Let me talk to somebody. Because there are many of us, our attention is more focused on the distractions. We are more focused on the detractors and the distraction around us than on Jesus Christ. So we listen to what people say about us. "Oh, Pastor Drisdale, I mean, you are this." And so I get offended. I get discouraged, and I can't speak about Jesus. But our gaze, our focus, our attention should be on one person and one person only. And his name is Jesus Christ. What do you say? You know, my brothers and my sisters, I have to tell you that you can't cheat in this race. Are you hearing me? Ben Johnson was convicted. He was found guilty for using anabolic steroid. Mike Gatlin was accused of using human growth hormone. Asafa Powell, Sharon Simpson, a few others have been accused of using the banned substance axilofrin. Well, I've got to tell you this afternoon that in this Christian race, hear me somebody, no anabolic steroid will be able to help you. No human growth hormone will be able to help you. No axilofrin can't help you. Only Jesus alone. That is why you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. It doesn't matter how hot the battle is. The songwriter said the hotter the battle, the sweeter the victory. And when the battle gets rough, Jesus says, "I am there with you." even unto the end of the world. I don't know about you today, but I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And I'm going to flex my spiritual muscles. I'm going to do some spiritual exercise by reading my quarterly, by studying my Bible, and by daily praying. Then I'm going to put on my gospel shoes. And I'm going to run a few laps for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell my friends and my neighbor, even my enemies, that there is a Savior who is pleading in glory. I'm going to tell them that Jesus left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, but he came just the same. What do you say? I'm going to tell them that Jesus went to hell for me so that I won't get there. By the way, hell as used here means the grave. I'm going to tell them that Jesus conquered death, and he is the one who is coming back to take us home to live forever in that glorious paradise that he has gone to prepare for us. But in order to receive that crown, I need to keep my gaze fixed on Jesus. So when they criticize poor Drisdale, I'm going to take it to God in prayer. When they talk about you, don't be vindictive. Don't get revengeful. Get on your knees and dial J-E-S-U-S. Call him up. Tell him what you want. And Jesus will accept. He won't put you on hold. You won't hear that your credit run out. Because he's a friend that is close, that sticks closer than a brother. What do you say? So we need to prepare for Christ's second coming by keeping our gaze fixed on Jesus. The Bible said, look upon Jesus. Sorry, the songwriter said, look upon Jesus. Sinless is he. Father imputes his life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can make the vilest sinner clean. Thank you, Jesus. Whiter than snow. So today, as we look on Jesus, it brings me to my final point. Christ's victory guarantees our victory. Somebody say amen. Paul says that Christ is author and finisher of our faith. What that means is, whatever he starts, he will finish. You know, we have some good politicians with good intention. When they campaign, they will tell you what they are about to do, but as soon as they get in power, they tell you that because of the IMF, because of this, they can't do it. But I've got news for you. We serve a God who is unchanging. We serve a God that cannot be surprised by anything. He is the Alpha. And he's also the Omega. He's not only the beginning, but he's also our ending. He's not also the first, but he's also the last one. When you reach to touch a dying pillow, he's there for you. But you need to serve him in good times so that when the bad time comes, he can say there is goodness and mercy attending you. Though the Christians have a great cloud of witnesses that have finished their race, the Christian's most perfect example is found in Jesus Christ, the God-man, and somebody needs to say amen. He ran a perfect race. He endured the most cruel persecution, pain, and suffering ever presented to any man. Yet he did not give up. His victory over sin, death, and the devil is echoed time and again in the New Testament. By his stripes we are healed. Through his sacrificial death on the cross, we have victory And we can say, I have overcome because Jesus overcame. What do you say? Today, my brothers and my sisters, Jesus paid it all. While he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. He loved us with an infinite love. The Bible said that while we were yet sinners, have mercy, God. While we were still lying, while we were still refusing to return the Lord's tithe, while we were still conniving and wicked, while we were bastard, while we were sinners, God demonstrated his love for us. Sent Jesus to die in our place so that we can have the life which was his. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. As Jesus hung on the cross, he cried, it is finished. The power of sin and Satan had come to an end, because through Christ we can gain the victory over our besetting sins. What do you say? We can learn to live as Jesus lived. We can become sinless through Jesus. What do you say? Because we are not the ones who are living anymore, but it is Jesus Christ who daily lives in us. Somebody say amen. The life that we now live, we live through Jesus Christ who lives in us. What was finished, preacher? The killing of lambs and doves. It was finished. Christ's victory over sin and Satan makes it possible that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Based on the past experience, I can say with the songwriter, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, but to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. As I close this message this afternoon, I know that 2014 will be challenging, but the God of 2013 is still the God of 2040. What do you say? The God who has been there for the Drisdale's family in 2013 will be there for us in 2014. The God who has kept you safe in 2013 will be the same God in 2014. Only trust him. Only trust him, because he is still mighty to save. In 2014, when doubt asks, are you lonely? You can answer, no, not lonely, while Jesus stands by, for his presence always cheers me. I know that he is nigh. In 2014, when discouragement comes and asks, are you friendless? You can shout, no, not friendless, for Jesus is my friend. I change, but he, Jesus, remains the same until the very end. When despondency acts in 2014, are you weary? Be sure to declare, no, not weary, while leaning on his breast, for my soul has full enjoyment in his eternal rest. When fear hurts, are you helpless? Shout yes, so helpless, but I'm leaning hard on the mighty arms of Jesus, and he is keeping guard. When your critics ask, are you still waiting for Jesus to come? Answer with confidence, yes, I am waiting, for he bids me watch and wait. I only wonder often what makes my Lord so late. When, if death should come in 2014 and ask, are you still joyful after what I've done to your friends and loved ones? yes. Be sure to say yes. So joyful, with joy too deep for word, for I have a precious and a sure foundation, the joy that is my Lord. No, the songwriter said, never alone. Jesus has promised to be with us until the end of time. And so, my brothers and my sisters, as we go through 2014, if you lose anything, don't lose your hope. Are you hearing me? Still maintain your hope, because we have this hope that burns within our heart. Hope in the coming of the Lord. After all I've been through, Pastor Samuel, still have joy. Joy that is unspeakable. After all we have been through, let us continue to run the Christian race, because soon and very soon, he that will come and will not tarry. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come.